Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to be here, the health, the ability. God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Now, Father, we're going to ask for something else, and we're going to ask that you would bless us in a mighty way so that we could hear the word of God and apply it in our lives today. God, work in our hearts and our lives. Help us. Father, and for this to be done, our pastor is going to need your Holy Spirit power to preach to us. Use him this morning. Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, please help them to settle that today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me remind you of a couple things real quickly once again, if I may. Number one is make sure your electronic devices are turned off or to vibrate anyway so they won't go off during the service. We would appreciate that very much. Also, unless you have a medical reason or need to get up and go out, I'm going to ask you to sit very still and listen very carefully for a few moments. Several weeks ago, I preached a message on understanding the working of God. I had no idea when I began to preach that message that it would turn into a series of messages that would be based, or the idea would be trying to understand God. Now, that's like trying to say describe the world or describe the universe. But I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe because we don't understand God. God as he is, not God as we make him. Not God as you understand him, understanding God as he is. I believe because we don't understand God correctly, and we don't understand him and how he does things and what he does and who he is. I believe many of us today have a misguided understanding about how we should live. See, if there's God up in heaven, and he's just up there somewhere, and he's just a deity of power, force, or something like that off yonder, doesn't really mean anything, does it? If he's just a God like all the other religions type God situation, doesn't make any difference in our life. But if we understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is a God in heaven, the creator of everything, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-understanding, a God of great wisdom, a God, as we learned in the first message, we understood his working in this world and in our lives. The second message was understanding God's love. Difficult subject, very difficult to explain, because the love of God is unsearchable. It's incredible that God loves us unconditionally. Today we're going to talk to you about God's justice. Understanding the justice of God. Have you ever faced something in your life and thinking about God, you said, that's not fair. God's not fair. Something that just didn't quite agree with your understanding about your life and that situation, and you thought, you know, that wasn't fair of God to do that. That wasn't right. The fact that God is a God of justice is very important for us to understand, because God is a God of fairness. God is a God who is just. Not just and right in everything that he does, but he is a God of justice in how he deals with us and how he works in our lives and the situations in our lives and this life today and in this world and how God does things. God is just. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 26 this morning, the Bible makes this statement: to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that's God's, that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a God of justice today. Now, I cannot guarantee you you'll get justice out of the system of mankind. We've all seen the failures of man's system of justice. That's because it's run by men, operated by people, and they have their own system and government, the way they do things. I'm not here to condemn the justice system. I believe they do their best, and I believe there are a lot of very honorable, decent people who work in the justice system in our country to try to do their very best at what they do. No question. None whatsoever. But there's something wrong with a system when a man, I think it was almost 15 years ago, had murdered a man, had him in the car seat next to him with a seatbelt on the man he had just murdered, was pulled over, arrested with a dead man he had just killed in his car, and it took 12 years to convict him of murder. That's not a system that works right. Now across our nation, they want to remove the death penalty in many of these states that have the death penalty. And the death penalty is biblical. It's not about revenge. It's not about killing people just for the purpose of killing people. God instituted the death penalty. God's for it. It's right. It's biblical. But now the reason they want to get rid of the death penalty in many states is because it costs too much money. It costs more to execute someone than it does to put them in prison for the rest of their life. Well, it does the way most systems are set up. Someone murders somebody, they're convicted, they start an appeal process, and they'll spend 20 to 25 years in appeal process. Last person that died in the state of California on death row died of a heart attack from old age. Ecclesiastes says when sentence is not executed speedily, I don't think there ought to be any rush to justice and rush to judgment on somebody, but if they're guilty, they should be executed quickly and properly. Make sure that they're guilty. Don't do anything. Don't execute an innocent person, but just make sure it's done right. If you use the death penalty correctly, it works. It just doesn't work the way we use it. You know why? Because the justice system is not functioning the way that it should. Now, that's the system of man's justice. God is a God of justice, though. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. I guarantee you at some point in your life, if it has not happened yet, it will. Something will happen in your life or in the life of somebody you know and you love, and you're going to say, that's not fair. That's not fair. And it may well fall at the feet of Almighty God, and you say, but God is not being fair in this area. Or you may say, you know what? God may be a God of justice, but it sure looks like a lot of people are getting away with stuff. Nobody's going to get away with anything because God is just. He is a God of justice. Now stay with me this morning as I point out to you the proofs of the justice of God today. First of all, the first proof we have that God is just is salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, would you look at the statement here? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I went to Bible college and took 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew, from which I have been successfully delivered of all of it. And the truth of the matter is, I looked up for all have sinned in the Greek. And here's the best interpretation for all have sinned. For all have sinned. That's the best interpretation you can come up with. What God's Word says is always the best interpretation on what the Bible says. That's why it's written like this, see? Now look at me, friend. That means this. Everybody is a sinner in the sight of God. Now, would you notice something, please? The justice of God concerning this is all have sinned. Did it list for you what sins God's talking about? Nope. It lists anybody who's ever sinned before. Now, let's take a quick poll this morning, shall we? How many of you today have ever sinned in your life? Would you raise your hand, please, today? Oh, my. That's adding a lot of time to my sermon this morning. Look at all these sinners in this building. Now, for the rest of you who didn't raise your hand or are on medication, let me help you with something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that makes all of mankind, that levels the ground for everybody on this planet. In the sight of God, all have sinned. Now, that's a just God declaring everybody to be a sinner. That also means this. Then when God says, look at the next verse, Romans 3 and 24, please, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Since everyone is a sinner, everyone needs redemption, that's salvation that Jesus Christ has paid for. Everybody. Christian, non-Christian, religious, non-religious, person that grows up in a nation that believes in the God of the Bible and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those people who are Hindus, those who are Muslims, those who are Jews, those who are pagans, those who don't believe in God at all have sinned, everybody has sinned, and God says all of them need redemption through Jesus Christ. All of them. That's the system of God's justice. Verse number 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Simply put, here's what it means. God's justice and salvation is very simple and very clear and very just. Anyone who is a sinner, and that's everybody, must have redemption, and that's only through Christ. And if you come to Christ, God will save you and justify you in his sight. And that's fair. See, look at me, people. This thing today of all the religions of the world, whether they're Christian or not, is all that stuff is man-made stuff that people put forward. When they come to the clear redemption of God through Christ, they see it, they understand it, but they don't want to embrace that. So they make their own religion. It's that simple. They just make up their own religion. Muhammad in the 6th, 7th century, Muhammad was a young man influenced by Christians. Saw the paganism of his day, saw the excess of the Christians who lived around him, saw the failure that he felt was in the Jewish religion, and Muhammad founded his own religion. Declared himself to be the prophet of that religion. Declared God to be Allah, one God, his God. And then went around and forced everybody to embrace the religion. He would line them up in villages, put a sword to their throat and say, Allah or die. You get a lot of converts like that. A lot of converts. Kind of like battlefield salvation, as it were. A lot of converts to that kind of religion. Ladies and gentlemen, these religions today are just people who come to the redemption of Christ and say, but I want one my way. I'm going to make my own religion. Now, that's not what's just. What's just is God saying you come to God through Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior or you don't come. But preacher, that excludes people. It excludes no one because it includes anyone and everyone who's willing to come to Christ. So God makes it one way. See, it's just that it's one way for salvation. That's what's just. What's not just is every way of salvation or any way of salvation or any way you like of salvation. That's not just. So God is a just God, and he proves that by salvation and making salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Oh, by the way, there's another proof of salvation and justice of God to that salvation, and it's under the word whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that only the elect, that only the chosen, that only the faithful few, that only the Baptists. And I'm Baptist. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'm going to be Baptist dead. I'm so Baptist, I can't spell Baptist. That's how Baptist I am. I think it's B-A-B-T-Y-S-T and something like that. Baptist. No. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about justice from an almighty God that says anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place is willing to come to God through Jesus Christ, trusting him for their salvation, God will save them. That's a just God justifying those who believe in Christ. That's just. So it eliminates all the confusion. It eliminates all the I don't understand. How come? What about this? What about that? It's all settled. God says, here's the way I want it to be done. This is how it's going to be. There will be one way of salvation. That way will be my Son. He will come and die on the cross for your sins. He will pay for those sins. 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. You come to God through Jesus Christ or you don't come. Period. That's just. Clears the ground. Makes it simple for everybody and anybody anywhere on this planet. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God's justice is very clearly evident in the matter of salvation. Please don't put a question mark where God put a period. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, what about people who never hear about Jesus? Bible says, by the way, this great book of Romans is where you need to be today. Now, Romans chapter 2 tells you what God does about people who don't even believe in Jesus. It says they're without excuse. Romans chapter 1 tells us that God put his stamp of his creative power in creation around everybody. His eternal power in Godhead is proven by what he has made. God made, not evolved, made. The creative hand of work of God shows there's a God. You know, everybody on this planet can see that. They're in a church in their jungle or their village or their corner of the world. God has put his hand of creative work upon that place, and they can see that. If they will acknowledge that light, God will give them more light. But if they reject it, then they're the ones who've turned from God. There's a little booklet called Cowboy Boots in Darkest Africa. Dr. Bill Rice, he was 6'6" Texan. Big old 10-gallon cowboy hat, big old cowboy boots. It's in our library over here. You ought to read it. He went to preach to the pygmies in Africa. Pygmies are little black folk. Bill Rice, 6'6" Texan. 10-gallon hat, cowboy boots, goes out in the jungle preaching to the pygmies of Africa. First, one of the first men to ever get to this particular tribe that he had gone to. He goes there and he starts preaching Christ to the village with the village chief's permission. And they all gathered, and as Dr. Rice preached the gospel to these pygmies, the chief raised his hand and trusted Christ as his Savior. After the service was over there, he took Dr. Rice by the hand, and with an interpreter, the old chief walked Dr. Rice out through the jungle on a well-worn path to a great manioc tree. And out there at that tree, Dr. Rice said you could see the bark on that tree had been shaved off, or someone had been climbing that tree for years. And the chief stood there and pointed to Dr. Rice and he says, "The great Creator sent you across the great water to tell me about his son Jesus, and every day I would climb to the top of that tree and look for him. And he sent you here to tell me about his son Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, people are not left out because of ignorance. People are not left out because they don't get a chance. If anyone is excluded, they exclude themselves because they will not respond to the truth that God gives them. You do it God's way. It's just. You want to be saved this morning, you come to God through Jesus Christ. You make a definite decision to accept Him as your personal Savior. That's how you get saved. That's the only way. That's the only way of redemption. That's how you come to God. That's just. Salvation proves the justice of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 this morning. You know, there's another thing that proves the justice of God, and that proof is in eternity. Eternity proves the justice of God. The fact, ladies and gentlemen, that there is life after death. I believe in life after death. Every Sunday morning when you get up and walk out of here, I see a resurrection. Revelation chapter 20. Would you look there, please, this morning? How many are grouchy today because you lost an hour of sleep? Put that clock forward. What idiot ever came up with that idea? Leave the clock alone. What in the world? Okay, we won't cover that this morning. It's not just. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Listen now. There is life after death. That proves the justice of God. That this life is not all there is. You remember that now. You say, "Yeah, so and so, I'm telling you, these people that go around and do what they want to in their life, they just seem to get away with it." But that's not all that there is. This life is not all that there is. We don't just live and die and that's it. You don't go to the grave and turn to worm bait. That's not all that there is. There is life after death. And after death, there is a place called judgment. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 11. It says, Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven was fled away, and there was found no lawyer for them. And there was found no place for them." Wait a minute, look at me. Here are people, they're trying to get away from this place of examination and standing before God. And the Bible says, not at this one. You're about to see the justice of God on the sins of mankind here. Verse 11, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book." Look at this statement. "According to their works." Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Look at me. That's the justice of God in eternity in a place called judgment. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, some of these people, what they do with their life, it's so terrible how they prey on the innocent of society. Then they don't seem to get caught by the justice. And then if they do, they get 6 months for something. Then they're back out on the streets raping and maiming the public. And what is that all about? I'll tell you what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's called a society that does not follow the law of God in executing and dealing with criminals like they should. But number two, it is just what happens in this life. Don't ever confuse what happens in this life to be the only thing that will ever take place. There is a justice of God, my friend. One day, everybody's going to stand at this great white throne judgment who never received Christ as their Savior. Salvation will make you miss this event right here, by the way. written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the book that records the names of all those who got saved, trusted Christ as their Savior. If you're here this morning and you're saved, your name's in that book, and you will not stand at the great white throne judgment for this examination. Everyone else will. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing there, famous and infamous, well-known and unknown. Those who led millions of people into their doctrines and philosophies, they will stand in examination and judgment. Those who just went to work every day, did their 9 to 5, paid their bills, never trusted Christ, died, they'll stand there too. And the Bible says in this passage very clearly, there is a set of books that are there, and everything that is done by those people is recorded in these books. For what purpose? So when God examines their life, they're going to have to exact a punishment. God is going to exact a punishment in hell for everything done and every impact and effect that that has had on people on this earth. If you'll notice, there is every judgment that's recorded in the Word of God, nobody does any talking at these judgments. God does all the business. The person is called forward. Bring Joe Smith up here, please. Stand here. Let's look at the books. Reveal Joe's life and what's done. Joe, what did you do with your life? Here's what he did with his life. Joe, this is what you've done. And here's your punishment, Joe. Now see, we think it would be better to house them in cages or bring execution upon a criminal who preys against society. For the protection of society? Probably. Definitely. But if you want to talk about pure justice, you look at the great white throne judgment. There's God's justice. Because you see, what is done to someone in this life lasts as long as this life. That's all they can do. Person dies and stands before God, what they receive for what they have done with their life will be forever. And there is no purgatory, and there's no halfway house, and they don't go to hell for a while, and they don't work their way out. Believe me, if you could work your way out of hell, nobody would be in hell today. They're there forever. That's the system of God's justice in eternity. The great white throne. Yes, God is just. This justice is complete, and it's final. And there's no appeal process. And no one gets out of anything and no one gets off of anything. Even things that were done that nobody saw the effect of those things upon others, there'll be an exact judgment for each one and there'll be an exact punishment brought for each thing that's done. And when it's all over and done, all who stand at the great white throne judgment for examination, the Bible says, are cast into the lake of fire. It's called hell. Oh, by the way, there's another evidence of God's justice in this passage. Go to chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Look at verse 3. And it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For look at this statement, friend, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hell for the lost, heaven for the saved. Hey, friend, do you see that? He said he makes everything new. Do you see that? All the former things are wiped away. God takes our past and washes it in the blood of his Son. It's gone. All because of salvation through Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I am looking forward to a day when I look at somebody's face and I won't remember anything about their life. I often kid with the people in our church, if you ever fire me, I'm going to write a tell-all book. 25 years of pastoring Shasta Baptist Church, and here's what I know about these people. So actually, I'm pastored by threat. No, I'm not going to do that. But you know something, dear friend? Look at me. The justice of God is this. Well, that's not fair that all that stuff should just be removed like that. Oh, yes, it is. Because by the blood of Jesus Christ, the payment has been made. What's the point of the record when the payment is made? What's the point of it? if it's forgiven and justified by the blood of Christ, what's the point of keeping the record of what has happened? And why live in eternal heaven, the beautiful city four square, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep, gates of gold, gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper? Why spend forever walking around with our head down saying, but yeah, there was that time? How could we possibly enjoy heaven? Or walking by someone and going, I remember what you did. I remember what you did. Last Sunday, you didn't stop me. I said something stupid. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Pay attention. I remember what you did. You took my seat in church. I remember what you did. What would heaven be like? See, it's God's justice that those who live their life their way and die without Christ and do not accept His payment, they make a payment for the sin. Those who do trust Christ's payment and accept that salvation God has given them, their record is expunged. It's wiped clean. Everything is brand new. That's the justice of God. And He wipes away tears from our eyes. And there's no pain. We don't have any boo-boo reports in heaven. Well, I got the elbow thing and then my knee thing and then it's in the back and now it's one of these. It's none of that stuff in heaven. It's all gone. All gone. I mean, friend, you look at me. That's the justice of God. God just wipes it clean. One more proof of God's justice this morning, quickly. Now listen, here it is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, forgiveness proves the justice of God. Now, not the forgiveness for salvation. That's a once-for-all process. But as God's people, we sort of tend to wander a little bit, don't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. As a child of God, we still do not keep our feet on the path we should, and our mouths in the direction they ought to be, and our lives in the direction they should go. We still have tendency to do things we shouldn't do after we get saved. Yes? And when you come to God and honestly confess to God, that doesn't mean go in a phone booth and tell some guy dressed like a mother or calls himself a father what you did. It means you go to God yourself. You're your own priest. You go to God yourself. And you say, Dear Father, I am sorry for what I did and I was wrong. Please forgive me. He is faithful and just to say, it's all right, forgiven. You mean just like that? That's right, just like that. Listen now, not words without meaning. Not some rote prayer that we make some statement. No, 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 friend. You go to God. The Bible says confess means to agree with. I confess to God. I agree with God about what I've done. I'm sorry, Father. That was wrong. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. God says, forgiven. You mean, Pastor Johnson, you mean it's always available? Yeah, because look here. If He'll forgive me, He'll forgive you. The forgiveness of God is justice. Yeah, but see, I'm not going to forgive. You see, that's the problem. We think we're better than God, so that's why we hold grudges. We think we're better than God is. I know He forgives, but I'm not going to. Oh, so you're better than God now. That's what Joseph told his brothers after 20 years of his life was taken away from him because of their greediness, because of their jealousy. They sell their brother Joseph into slavery. 20 years of his life goes by. Joseph is in Egypt. The brothers come to Egypt for food. After a bit of a contest, Joseph reveals himself to those brothers. These men have cost him 20 years of his life, and now Joseph is the most powerful man in the land of Egypt, with the exception of Pharaoh himself. And he can take their life and just snuff it out and make them pay for what they did to him. Even after their father Jacob dies, then they lie to Joseph again and say, Now, Dad said, you're supposed to forgive us. That great passage in Genesis chapter 50, the Bible says, Joseph breaks down and weeps and makes this statement, Am I God that I cannot forgive you? See, we think the forgiveness is God for me, but I don't have to give it to everybody. Well, yes, you do. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We like that justice of forgiveness for ourselves. We just don't think we have to give it to anybody else. Oh, yes, you do. You freely received it. You freely give it. Now, look here, friend. Look, the truth of the matter is God's forgiveness is a just and a wonderful thing in our lives. And He's just about this thing. You give God time, and God's justice will become so evident and clear in your life It'll just be incredible. And you'll never stand and look up on a starry night with a broken heart and say, but God, that's not fair. That's just not fair. No, instead you'll look up into the starry face of God and you'll say, Father, I don't understand how this works, but I know you always do the right thing. And God's justice will be complete and finished. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.